Ayrım 6.
Set him down. Let's have a look at you.
The cord hurts.
We've done nothing.
Nothing? Tonight you have come where it is death to come. The fish of this pool are dearly bought.
Don't want fish.
The price is not set on fish. Only to come here and look on the pool bears the penalty of death. I have spared you so far at the prayer of Frodo, but you must also satisfy me. Cut him loose.
Now, Smeagol, you must trust me. I will not desert you. Now, answer truthfully if you can.
Come hither. Look in my eyes. Do you know the name of this place? Have you been here before?
We doesn't know. And we doesn't want to know. Never came here. Never come again.
I believe you. What oath will you swear never to return?
Master knows. Smeagol promises so precious. Promises faithfully, faithfully. Never to come again. Never, never. Speak now. Never, never. No. Precious, no. Go.
Are you satisfied, Frodo?
Yes. You will get no more from him. And I promised him that if he came with me, he should not be harmed. I would not be proved faithless.
Then I surrender him to you. As for you, Frodo, I declare you free in the realm of Gondor to the furthest of its ancient bounds. But tell me, whither would you go?
Where my guide leads me. He said that there is, or there may be, a path near to Minas Ithil. A path that climbs up into the mountains.
Do you know the name of that high pass?
No.
It is called Cirith Ungol. Is not that its name?
No. Yes. We heard the name once, yes. But what does the name matter? Master says he must get in. There is no other way to try.
No. No other way. There is some dark terror that dwells in the high passes. If Cirith Ungol is named, old men and masters of law will blanch and fall silent. Frodo, do not go there.
The time came for Frodo and Sam to set out. The cool morning air was fresh and sweet about them, and they were in haste to depart. But Faramir drew them aside for one last counsel.
Frodo, I think you do very unwisely in this. I do not think you should go with that creature. He is wicked.
Not altogether wicked.
Not wholly, perhaps, but malice eats him like a canker. He will lead you to no good.
I have promised many times to take him under my protection and to go where he led. You have not asked me to break faith with him.
No, but my heart would. I do not think you are holden to follow him to Cirith Ungol, of which he has told you less than he knows. It is a place of sleepless malice, full of lidless eyes. Do not go that way.
But where else would you direct me? And if you cannot guide me to the mountains, nor over them, but over the mountains I am bound to go by a solemn undertaking. If I turn back, where then shall I go among elves and men? Would you have me come to Gondor with this thing that drove your brother mad with desire? Oh, Faramir, what spell would it work in Minas Tirith? Would it not bring evil and decay? As Sauron brought evil to Minas Ithil, your twin city that was once so fair, and turned it into the horror that is Minas Morgul? Shall there be two cities of Minas Morgul, grinning at each other across a dead land filled with rottenness?
I would not have it so.
Then what would you have me do?
I know not. It is a hard doom and a hopeless errand. I do not hope to see you again on any other day under the sun. But you shall go now with my blessing upon you and upon all your people.
Dear Faramir.
Farewell.
Farewell.
At the rising of the sun, Gandalf and Pippin came at last to Minas Tirith and passed through the seven gates of the city to the court of the fountain.
A withered tree. Why leave a dead tree in the courtyard when everything else is so well tended?
Don't you remember the rhyme I spoke to you?
Seven stars and seven stones and one white tree.
Uh-huh.
But it isn't white. It's dead. And broken and black.
It died with the 21st steward of Gondor. And no sapling could be found to replace it.
But why leave it there?
Because it is a descendant of Nimloth, the white tree of Numenor, which Sauron burned on the altar of the temple of Armenelos. For Isildur stole a fruit from that tree, and from it grew the white tree of Gondor.
Yes, but why leave it?
No more questions, Peregrine Took. We must go before Denethor, and be careful of your words. Denethor is not a kindly old man like Theoden. He's proud and subtle. A man of far greater lineage and power, though he is not called a king. But he will speak most to you and question you much, since you can tell him of his son Boromir. He loved him greatly, too much perhaps. But under cover of his love, he will think it easier to learn what he wishes from you rather than from me.
Really?
Do not tell him more than you need. Leave quiet the matter of Frodo's errand.
Well, of course.
And say nothing about Aragorn, unless you must.
Why not? What's wrong with Strider? He'll be arriving here himself soon anyway.
Maybe. Though if he comes, it is likely to be in some way no one expects, not even Denethor, who sees much. At least he should come unheralded by us.
Well, I'm very sorry, but I don't understand.
If you hadn't passed your time in the Shire bird-nesting and playing truant, you might have known that Denethor is only steward. He holds the office in the name of the king until he shall return.
Yes.
But it is long since men believed that the king would truly return. It's scarcely wise, when bringing the news of the death of his heir to a mighty lord, to speak overmuch of one who will claim the kingship.
Kingship?
Yes.
But I didn't know Strider.
If you've walked all these days with closed ears and mind asleep, wake up now.
Yes, Gandalf.
Come.
Hail, Lord and Steward of Minas Tirith, Denethor, son of Ecthelion. I am come with counsel and tidings in a dark hour.
Dark indeed is the hour, and at such times you are wont to come, Mithrandir. But though all the signs forebode that the doom of Gondor is drawing nigh, less now to me is that darkness than my own darkness. It has been told to me that you bring with you one who saw my son die. Is this he?
It is. One of the twain. The other is with Theoden of Rohan, and may come after. Halflings, but this is not he of whom the omen spoke.
Yet a halfling still. And little love do I bear the name, since those accursed words came to trouble our countryside and drew away my son on a wild errand to his death. My Boromir, now we have need of you. Faramir should have gone in his stead.
He would have gone. Be not unjust in your grief. Boromir claimed the errand and would not suffer any other to have it. But you speak of his death. You have had news of that ere we came.
I have received this.
That's the horn that Boromir always wore.
Verily. And in my turn I bore it, and so did each eldest son of our house far back in the vanished years before the failing of the kings. I heard it blowing dim upon the northern marches 13 days ago, and the river brought it to me, broken. What say you to that, halfling?
13 days. That would be so. I stood beside him when he blew the horn, but no help came, only more orcs.
Why did no help come? And how did you escape, and yet he did not, so mighty a man as he was, and only orcs to withstand him?
The mightiest man may be slain by one arrow, and Boromir was pierced by many. I swooned and was made captive. He died to save us, my kinsman Meriadoc and myself, waylaid in the woods by the soldiers of the Dark Lord.
A bitter sacrifice.
Little service, no doubt, will so great a lord of men think to find in a hobbit. Yet, such as it is, I will offer it in payment of my debt.
Once again it is shown that looks may belie the man or the halfling. I accept your service, for you are not daunted by words, and you have courteous speech. We shall have need of all folk of courtesy, be they great or small, in the days to come. Swear to me now.
Swear on the sword, if you are resolved on this.
Swear fealty and service to Gondor and to the Lord Steward of the realm. To speak and to be silent.
To speak and to be silent.
To do and let be.
To do and let be.
To come and to go.
To come and to go.
In need or plenty.
In need or plenty.
In peace or war.
In peace or war.
In living or dying.
In living or dying.
Until my lord release me or death take me.
Until my lord release me or death take me.
And I will not forget nor fail to reward that which is given. Fealty with love, valor with honor, oath-breaking with vengeance. Receive your sword. And now my first command to you. Speak and be not silent. Tell me your full tale, and see that you recall all that you can of Boromir, my son. Sit now and begin.
In the great hall, under the piercing eye of the Lord of Gondor, Pippin told his tale, conscious all the while of Gandalf at his side, watching and listening. When the hour was over, he felt quite worn out.
Send word to the captains that I have sworn this halfling to my service, and he shall be known as Peregrin, son of Paladin, and taught the lesser passwords.
Sire.
He shall lodge with the Lord Mithrandir, if he will. Mithrandir, none shall hinder your coming to me at any time, save only in my brief hours of sleep. Let your wrath at an old man's foolish grief run off, and then return to my comfort.
Nay, my lord, when you are a dotard, you will die. You can even use your grief as a cloak. Do you think that I do not understand your purpose in questioning for an hour one who knows the least?
If you understand it, then be content. Pride would be folly that listen not to counsel at need. But you deal out such gifts according to your own designs. Yet the Lord of Gondor is not to be made the tool of other men's purposes, however worthy. And to him there is no purpose in the world higher than the good of Gondor. And the rule of Gondor, my lord, is mine and no other men's, unless the king should come again.
Unless the king should come again. Well, my lord, it is your task to keep some kingdom still against that event. But I will say this. The rule of no realm is mine, but all worthy things that are in peril as the world now stands, those are my care. And for my part, I shall not wholly fail of my task, though Gondor should perish. If anything passes through this night that can still grow fair or bear fruit again in the days to come. For I also am a steward. Did you not know? Come, Pippin.
I did the best I could, Gandalf.
You did indeed. And I hope it may be long before you find yourself in such a tight corner again between two such terrible old men. Still, the Lord of Gondor learned more from you than you may have guessed, Pippin.
How?
You could not conceal the fact that Boromir did not lead the company from Moria, and that there was one among you of high honor who was coming to Minas Tirith.
Oh.
Denethor has long sight. He can see, if he bends his will thither, much of what is passing in the minds of men, even of those that dwell far off. It is difficult to deceive him, and dangerous to try.
Did I do right to swear him service?
It was well done. It touched his heart, as well as pleasing his humor. And at least you are free now to move about Minas Tirith, when you are not on duty. But there is another side to it. You are at his command, and he will not forget. Be wary, still.
And while Pippin explored the battlements of Minas Tirith, the King of Rohan came out of the hills and looked upon Dunharrow. A rider came out to meet him, clad in armor and girded with a sword.
Hail, Lord of the Mark. My heart is glad at your returning.
Eowyn, my sister, daughter. In helmet and armor?
Eowyn, you are a true shield maiden.
brother.
Is all well with you, Erwin?
All is well, though it has been a hard road for your people who have sought refuge here, torn from their homes. But all is now ordered. Your lodging is prepared for you. I've had full tidings of you and knew the hour of your coming.
So, Aragorn has come then. Is he still here?
He came at night and rode away yestermorn ere the sun had climbed over the mountaintops.
You are grieved, daughter. Tell me, did he speak of the road towards the haunted mountain? Did he purpose to ride through the paths of the dead?
Yes, Lord. And he has passed into the shadows from which none have returned. I could not dissuade him. He has gone.
All have gone to some doom. And my turn will come soon, Erwin.
An hour ago, an errand rider came from Minas Tirith. He bade me give you this.
The red arrow. Has it indeed come to that?
Denethor asks for all your strength and all your speed.
And we will go as soon as the muster is complete.
If you would take my counsel, you would remain in Edoras until the war is over, lost or won.
Speak not the soft words of worm tongue in my old ears. Never will I lead upon my staff again. If the war is lost, what good will be my hiding in the hills? And if it is won, what grief will it be, even if I fall, spending my last strength? Let us take what rest we can. We must set forth as soon as the sun is risen.
Are we rested? Have we had a beautiful sleep?
We aren't.
And we haven't.
Follow Sméagol.
We'll go if we must.
Follow Sméagol.
Now the ring bearers traveled by night, Gollum leading them by the road to Minas Morgul. There seemed to be a great blackness looming slowly out of the east, eating up the faint blurred stars. The sinking moon was ringed all about with a sickly yellow glare.
Day soon. Hobbitses must hurry. Day soon. And then hobbitses can sleep.
But no day came. Only a dead brown twilight. In the east, there was a dull red glare under the lowering cloud. But it was not the red of dawn.
Sam, do you think that is the opening of the Morgul Valley? Away over there, beyond that black mass.
Oh, need we think about it yet? Well, surely we're not going to move any more today, if the day ever happens.
Grey vapors arise in the east out of Mordor. The twilight is deepening.
The very air seemed brown, and all things were black and grey and shadowless. There was a great stillness. The world was darkling.
It comes from Mordor. It began last night at sunset. The riders of the marches saw it rise and creep across the sky, eating up the stars. Now the great cloud hangs over all the land between here and the mountains of shadow. And it is deepening. War has already begun.
So, we come to it in the end. The great battle of our time, in which many things shall pass away. But at least there is no longer need for hiding. We shall ride the straight way and the open road to Edoras, and with all speed. There shall the muster of Rohan be complete, and there shall our trumpets sound for battle.
Oh, what was it I was looking for? Weeds and thorns and bracken all over the place. How did the garden get into this mess? It was a job of work for me. I'm tired.
What was it I was looking for? My pipe! That's it? Silly. It's in your pack all the time.
Huh? Oh, you may have your pipe, Sam Gamgee, but no head. And you're hundreds of miles from Bag End. Oh, it's dark. I must have slept all day. Oh, have you had no sleep, Mr. Frodo? What's the time? It seems to be getting late.
No, it isn't. But the day is getting darker instead of lighter.
darker and darker. As far as I can tell, it isn't even midday yet, and you've only slept for about 3 hours.
I wonder what's up. Is there a storm coming? If so, it's going to be the worst there ever was. We should wish we were down a hole and not just stuck under a hedge. What's that? Thunder or drums? Or what is it?
I don't know. It's been going on for a good while now. Sometimes the ground seems to tremble. Sometimes it seems to be the heavy air throbbing in your ears.
Where's Gollum?
Off hunting, I suppose. There's not been a sign or sound of him.
I've never taken anything on a journey that I'd have been less sorry to lose on the way. But it would be just like him, after coming all these miles, to go and get lost now, just when we shall need him the most. I hope he doesn't fall into other hands, as you might say, because if he does, we shall soon be in for trouble.
I think we are in for trouble anyhow. I'm afraid, Sam, our journey is drawing to an end.
Well, maybe. But where there's life, there's hope, as my gaffer used to say. And need of victuals, as he most ways used to add. You have a bite of food Faramir gave us, and then a bit of sleep, Mr. Frodo.
No time for sleep, Sam. We must go. Yes, must go at once. No time to lose.
Go now. What's your little game? It isn't time yet. It can't even be tea time, even. Leastways, not in decent places where there is a tea time.
Silly! We are not in decent places. Time's running short. Running fast. No time to lose. We must go to the crossroads. Follow Smeagol.
At last, they came to a great ring of trees, open in the middle to the somber sky. The spaces between their immense boles were like great dark arches in some ruined hall. In the very centre, four roads met. The fourth way, the road they were to take, passed out eastward into darkness.
Oh, the sun! Look, Sam, a ray of sunlight.
It would shine just as it's about to set. Much good that'll do us.
Do you see? It's falling on an old statue. A statue of one of the old kings guarding the crossroads.
Well, it looks like the orcs have got him. They've sliced his head off, scrawled their filthy writing all over him. Ooh, here's his head, lying over here. Poor old king.
But look, Sam. He wears a crown again. A crown of trailing flowers like white stars. They cannot conquer forever.
I am going to war, Master Meriadoc. I release you from my service, but not from my friendship. You shall abide in Dunharrow, if you will, and serve the Lady Erwin.
But Lord, I offered you my sword. I don't want to be parted from you. Why did you receive me as sword thane, if not to stay by your side?
I received you for your safekeeping, and also to do as I bid. None of my riders can bear you as burden, and it is 100 leagues to Minas Tirith. I will say no more. Prepare to ride!
I won't be left behind to be called for in return. I won't be left, I won't!
You wish to go whither the Lord of the Mark goes. I see it in your face.
I do.
Then you shall go, with me. I will bear you before me under my cloak until we are far afield, and this darkness is yet darker. Such goodwill should not be denied.
Oh, thank you indeed. Thank you, sir, though I do not know your name.
Do you not?
And since you've got your visor down, I cannot see your face, begging your pardon, sir.
Then call me Dernhelm.
And so the great ride into the east began, with which the songs of Rohan were busy for many long lives of men thereafter.
Forth rode the king, fear behind him, faith before him. He held the curfew, oaths he had taken, all fulfilled them. Forth rode the Theoden. 5 nights and days, east and onward rode the Olegast. to fold, and Fenmark and the Pelian wood, 6,000 spears to sun lending, Wundberg, the mighty, and the Vindaloin, seeking city in the south kingdom. All beleaguered, fired and circled, doom drove them on, darkness took, horse and horseman, who feet afar sank into silence.
In episode 9 of J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings, adapted by Michael Bakewell, the part of Frodo was played by Ian Holm, Gandalf by Michael Horden, Aragorn by Robert Stevens, and Denethor by Peter Vaughan. Sam, William Nye, Gollum, Peter Woodthorpe. Merry, Richard O'Callaghan, Pippin, John McAndrew, Gimli, Douglas Livingstone, Legolas, David Collings. Theoden, Jack May, Eomer, Anthony Hyde, Eowyn, Ellen Jenkins. Faramir, Andrew Sear. With Sean Arnold, John Church, Alan Dudley, Martin Reed, Michael Spice, and Hayden Wood. The narrator was Gerard Murphy. The music was composed and conducted by Stephen Oliver. The singer was Oz Clark. The director was Jane Morgan.